Katie, can you please? I don't want to ask you again, but like, I know it's none of my business, but it just feels like directly my business. Can you please get a new fucking screen cover?
No.
But like, I don't understand. You got your phone like what, 2 weeks ago, and then the first thing you did was put a screen cover on it, like within the first, I'm sure, like 20 minutes, but you put it over
Yeah.
a dot of dirt. And so whenever now you hand me your phone to look at
Yeah.
something, my eyes crisp fucking cross,
Yeah.
and it like literally gives me so much pain. I can't do it.
And it's right in the center of the screen.
Why do you get so much joy talking about it like
I
that,
fucking
though?
love it because it's who I am, and I really embrace
Being provocative to your friends?
And here's the thing, I just want to tell you the story is that usually I ask the person who I get my phone from or whatever to put the screen protector on. Actually, the last phone I had, the IT guy at my office put it on for me when I like worked at an ad agency and had an IT guy. Now I am the IT guy. And so, because like it just stresses me out so much to put it on because I'm really not a precise
Right. It
person.
stresses you out because you don't want to get it wrong and you've gotten it wrong. So I don't know why you wouldn't then put that passion back into making it better.
No, that's not what I do. That's not how I roll. And so listen, I'm sitting, first mistake, sitting on my bed doing it. So like you're supposed to be on an even surface, duh. And I'm like sitting on my bed, which is again my first mistake, and I put it on, Brie. Here's what I never told you. About seven times. That's why the dirt
I
happened.
just don't get
So
why you
like
wouldn't do it an
first
eighth time.
Because it got even dirtier every time, it got even dirtier. And so I was like ma manically sitting on my bed, like drooling, like, oh my God, like it's getting worse, it's getting worse, it's getting worse, like basically rocking back and forth. And then I was
Yeah.
like, and so then finally I got it on and I was like, you have to stop doing this. It's getting dirtier every time. The bubbles are never going to be out.
It's
And now
so
you have a
bad.
piece of dirt.
It looks like a Target.
It does look like a Target. I kind of like it. I
I
do.
think that like the more I dislike it, the more you like it. And I just want to know how like, are you gonna have to like lose your phone for this to change? You're gonna have to like,
Yeah,
okay.
definitely.
Well, the good news is that you will for sure lose it soon.
Yeah, except God bless, I used to lose phones all the time, and I didn't lose the last phone I had. I had it for like 2 years.
Well, you lost it for like a few
No,
hours at
no.
a time, but you've never
All
like
right.
lost and never
Oh,
retrieved
yeah.
it.
So they keep coming back to me. So I have a theory about this. I used to be the kind of person who loses everything, as you know. So Brie famously, if we usually go out together, but if God for fucking bid, we're not out together, there's no one to pick my wallet and phone up off the floor of the bar that we go
Right.
to because we only go to one bar. But like so anyway, a few weeks ago I did the horrible blasphemous thing of going out without Brie, and I left my wallet at Skinny Dennis, also blasphemous. But anyway, I left my wallet there, obviously. And then I was with Brie the next day on Sunday, and we go back, and I was fully prepared for it not to be there and for them to be like, I'm so sorry, sweetheart. Like, you lose your wallet at a bar and it's gone. And
Yeah.
the woman was like, oh, here it is. So karmically, things have been coming back to me now. Like, I lost my phone on my birthday
Yeah, I
in a
we've
way that was really naughty, and it came back to me. And it was like unprecedented who I got it back from. Like, it just makes no sense. Like, I didn't know the person, and like
They
it
owed you
came back, they
nothing.
owed me nothing.
But I think that we've evolved to be a species that understands the cost of losing a phone. It's no longer about having to pay for a new phone. It's like we all understand now, like our souls are inside these
But
robots.
also wallets, because I
Okay, I really don't think that I want to keep talking about the things you lose because like there's other things.
Well, the thing about Brie is that
What is it?
she is truly my protector.
Wow.
Because while I might appear less chaotic, I'm actually way more fucking chaotic. Like, I'm sitting in Bree's apartment right now, and she has like the most organized drawers and like these little plastic bins with labels on them. And I'm like, one time I tried to get one of those plastic bins, and it ended up just like under my bed covered in dust. And
Oh.
I was like, I'm gonna put stuff in this. And like what I do with my mess is I just like have it behind this green velvet curtain that remains closed. And I'm just like, there it goes. And so like everything looks nice. Mm-hmm. And I don't have like really chaotic energy, although maybe perhaps manic energy. But like I'm actually quite a mess underneath it all, and you are not. So like you Brie like breezes in like a Botticelli muse with like her crazy hair and like a gypsy chain hanging around her waist and like flowy pants and like is just like whatever. But like she's standing on the corner and the wind is blowing in her hair, but you get closer and closer and you realize she's like scowling at her phone screen, screaming, "Why is everyone late?" And you're like, "Oh my God, what?" But it's good because like you're a timekeeper. And like one of my favorite things ever is like there's when Lena, before she had her best podcast ever, The C Word, she had a I forget what it was called, but she had a podcast that she had Jemima on once and they were on a road trip together and they recorded in the car, which like just that is poetry to me.
Good idea, actually.
Yeah,
yes.
Poetry. Let's mm-hmm. do that soon. Drive to Maine.
DLCs.
But so Lena is like, you know, the thing about Jemima is a lot of Jessa is inspired by who Jemima actually yeah. is. But what people don't know about Jemima is that she's never shown up late to anything in her life.
Wow.
And Lena's like, I'm the one who is usually pretty late and then obsessively apologetic about it. But Jemima is just like, just don't be late. I don't get it.
Yeah, like you were an hour late today. And like,
yeah.
I tried to like take a walk around the block so I could pretend like I wasn't bothered by it. But like, I don't think that yeah. anyone thinks I'm not bothered by it.
No, I know you are. But I yeah. have to take care of myself and I needed to get my French
manicure. Shut the fuck up. Yeah. Like, really makes me seethe. Wow. Okay. So the thing about Katie is that she just will do something bad. She'll go bad, dumb, not good. But then, like, she'll just be, like, so charming. Like, Katie is a little sister, and, like, you can tell she's a little sister. Yeah. And I don't have any siblings, but I imagine if I had a younger sister that she would behave just like Katie, which is, like, provoke and push my buttons and be, like, and then just, like, look me dead in the eyes and smile and be, like, but I love you. And like Katie's so affectionate that like she'll just touch you and you're like, okay, fine. Like I'm not mad, but you'll just like have to.
And bring you cold brew and like.
Bring me cold brew.
I'm pretty good, yeah.
You'd be like the ideal.
Wife.
I was gonna say reality TV cast member.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, because I feel like you would always be dressed and you would always have catchphrases. And everyone would tell you their secrets, like, off camera. But then, like, you would put, like, spill them in the confessional because you would know, like, it would make great content. And also, like, all the dudes in the house would have a crush on you and you would balance the crushes so well.
That's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah. I just think, like, when Paige DeSorbo has to get off Summer House because she and Craig get married and she takes her life seriously, like, I think you would be a really great, like, I wouldn't say Paige 2.0 because you're your own person. But, like, you would fit the sweetheart type. Really well.
See, I mean, I'm the sweetest bitch you'll ever meet.
Like you would never fight someone.
No.
God, I can't even imagine. Or would you be a good physical fighter or no? You would just like literally
scrappy.
Run.
No, I wouldn't run. Are you fucking kidding me? I'm Italian.
I know that you are, but like I just can't imagine you physically
this
fighting.
This is funny and I would love for other people, aka just my nuclear family, to get in on this because I happen to be incredibly violent and I broke like a lot of plates. In my youth.
Really?
And, yeah, I broke things in, like, my bedroom and plates because I didn't want to, like, disrupt the rest of the house, but I definitely broke a lot of shit in my bedroom and a lot of my mom's really nice plates. Sorry, mommy. And also with my best friend, Madeline, I've, like, physically fought her. Remember those big gold Michael Kors watches that everyone had?
Oh, yeah, I still have my mind's broken. I'm like, why would I ever fix it? But, like, it was – I saved up. For so long for that stupid effing watch. Yeah. And like, I think I can't.
I shattered mine. Well, I like backhanded Madeline with it.
Wow.
Once. Yeah. Like we were on the street in Charleston and I was
Why did you do it?
Because her and I would get
About
in.
A boy?
No, never about a boy. We didn't like the same boys ever.
But why would you hit your best friend with a watch?
Because we just got in rip-roaring fights all the time when we were drunk in college. She would just be – she's a big sister of two younger brothers. Mm. So, like, a little sister really annoys her. I love you, Mads. But, like, so we would just provoke each other and get in a fight about absolutely nothing. We'd wake up in the morning like sisters and be like, still love you. Gross, right? But still do. And she'd be like, yeah, no problem. Like one time I broke a picture frame when and she was in the bathroom. She had literally screamed, you should never have children at me. And I was like, oh my God, how fucking dare you? And she was in the bathroom, shut the bathroom door. We love telling this story, so I'm happy to publicize. I shattered the picture frame and I go, there's broken glass outside the door. I hope you're barefoot.
What?
Yeah, like it was bad. Wait, so.
That's so creative. That's mostly my reaction right now is not that that's horrible. It's just that's incredibly creative.
Yeah. You physically fight.
I physically fought two people, both females. One of them, I cut her hand open with a key. Because I had my keys in my hand and I hit her.
Yeah, no, we're different.
And then my other story, my college roommate, Ashley, I had five college roommates, there were six of us all together. Mm-hmm. And Ashley and I got in a fight because I was talking shit about she and her boyfriend at the time. But he was bad. He was really bad. And she was like.
Yeah, that's a fight that's worth having.
Yeah. And I remember went upstairs. I lived downstairs and everyone else in the house lived upstairs. And I had like the biggest room with like a bathroom attached.
Oh, you had like Teddy's room. My friend Teddy had that room.
But like the girls were like, well, someone comes to murder us. Like we want to all be upstairs together. And I was like.
Did you pay more?
No. Because they were afraid to be alone downstairs. Oh, and I was like, I'm more afraid to be near you guys.
Again, the protector.
And also if a murderer comes, they're going to think my room is like something else.
And also like
you're going to keep walking. Also, I would be like, you're not even good at murdering. Like, I would just, like, emasculate them so they wouldn't even, like, you're right. I shouldn't even try to murder.
Like, wait, I'm so having bad. Deja vu, but I feel like that line is just, like, I want to rob. It's, like, one of those lines.
So, anyway, so then Ashley and I are fighting, and she's walking up the stairs, and I'm, like, at the bottom of the stairs, and she goes, you just think you're so perfect, don't you? And I shoved her. Like, I wish I shoved her from the top so I could say I shoved her down the stairs. I didn't think she was at the top. And then she came down the stairs. We were, like, bitch hitting each other, not even good. And, like, our roommate Carolyn, like, broke us apart. And then only Carolyn of the five roommates would speak to me for, like, a few weeks. Like, definitely, like, a month. I remember one night I slept in my car. The first night I slept in my car was, like, my teddy bear.
Aww.
I know. And, like, I just – it was bad.
Sweet baby.
I know. But then, like, here's – like this, like the brie of it all. And a few weeks later was Ashley's birthday. And the reason we started speaking again is because her ex messaged me and was like, hey, Brie, can you let Ashley know? Like, hope she has a great birthday. And like, just like a really loving message. And I like went upstairs and I was like, Ash.
Just so you know, you guys, she just whipped her hair back.
I did. Ash. Do you have a second? I like have to talk to you.
Ash.
And I was like, show her my face, like my Facebook DM from him. But they weren't DMs yet. It was Facebook message. And I like showed her like the blue and the white Facebook message. And
right. Oh my God. Like,
thanks. And like that night, she and another roommate were having a birthday party at the house. And technically, like, as the invites were going out, we were still in a fight. So I told the lacrosse team to have a party that night. We went to a really...
When the lacrosse team comes into it, I'm in.
Yeah. Also, like, that's my way of fighting.
Oh!
So...
A laxitude, if you will.
A laxitude, if you've ever heard of one. Okay. So the next day, we all kumbaya, and, like, we all just, like, want to make the fight go away. And we're all giving our apologies. And I said this. I said, I just want you to say one thing to me. I just want you to admit that you can't have a party unless I'm here. Or else it won't be good.
Wow.
Yeah, really dark and bad of me.
Wait, that's such a beautiful line.
It's not. Like, it's not that nice, I don't think. They could totally hold their own without me. I was just, like, a little...
No, a party is not complete without me. I know that for sure.
I don't even like parties.
I know you don't. I fucking love them.
Yeah. No, like, whenever we had parties, I would, like, be in my room and be like, anyone who wants to smoke weed, this is a room where you do it.
My room is for something else, but yeah.
I have my period and laughing.
Just Adderall, guys.
Oh no. Okay. But we cannot just like go on and on about our college glory days. Like, I know like that's totally for you. It's really not for me. Let's talk about our current glory days, because right now we're having like a great phase of life.
Yeah.
Sun is beaming. And
joy.
Joy. And play. Live, laugh, love. If anyone has not noticed, we are not on the speaking podcast. We are at Dollhouse Podcast. Mm-hmm. Katie and I decided that although we have been pumping out the podcast for the last 2 years on speaking is kind of like me, Brie, like it's like my thing. It's where I did like all the Ghislaine Maxwell stuff. It's like where I do political things. And Katie and I like to talk about, you know, our personal lives, and it was getting a little bit confusing. So we named it Dollhouse, which just felt so fitting. A, because like we're such cute little dolls, and B, because just like the honest truth of all the honest truths is Katie and I have made a home at this little cute, sexy dive called Dolly's.
Correct.
And Katie and I have been friends since 2019, but our friendship like took a huge swing in the most beautiful direction.
Swing. And the bar is called Dolly's Swing and Dive.
Oh my baby. Man. We swung and we dove.
We did. For sure.
And so now this is called Dollhouse.
Yeah.
And you may or may not hear a ton of stories revolving around our little pod of love.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, like, so basically the first time that I ever went to Dolly's, Brie texted me and was like, her and I had plans to go to a show one night in, I think this was like September of this past September. So September, 2021. Mm-hmm. And Brie had been going there for a while.
A few weeks. It felt like a lifetime.
A few weeks, but it felt like a lifetime in Dolly's time. She'd been like telling me about it, and I hadn't gone yet. And so anyway, she was like, let's go to meet me at Dolly's before the show. And so I came and I just immediately felt this vibe that was like I hadn't felt since college. Mm-hmm. And I went to College of Charleston, and bars were like, we lived in bars. It was not like a college town where like you just go to frat parties. It was like you go and party on King Street and you go to your bars and you have like your dive that like you walk in and all your friends are there.
Yeah.
And in Charleston, it was AC's, and I had not found it in New York. And then I walked into Dolly's and I was like, holy shit, yeah. This is it. And so like the vibe of Dolly's is that it's a Dolly Parton themed bar.
But really just the bathroom is Dolly Parton themed.
Right, exactly. It's just you walk into the bathroom and Dolly Parton is always playing. The music in the bathroom is always Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
And there are, although I didn't realize that because I have not been sober enough to realize that for a long time, until like we started going there like in the daylight when they were like opening, and we just wanted to talk to the bartenders who we're friends with now. But so Dolly Parton music is always playing in the bathroom, and there's pictures of Dolly everywhere, which is just like the best vibe ever. Also very important to note about the bathroom is that there's no mirrors.
You can't see yourself. Yeah. You have to like look in the sink or in the hand dryer.
Yeah.
To like decide what's up.
Which is just too stressful for me as a Libra sun and moon.
If there was a mirror, no one would leave that bathroom.
No one would leave that. I would live in that bathroom. Famously, I do live in bathrooms, not because of naughty behavior, but like I just like to hold court in a bathroom. Just be like, come in, I'm gonna read your birth chart. We're gonna just hang in here.
Read a birth chart. You can read CoStar, but you cannot read a don't offend me.
I know, I'm so sorry. But I did in fact read birth charts in this handicap bathroom stall a lot in Charleston at this place called The Alley.
Those
are the vibes. And then it's just like the bartenders are all like boys you want to be friends with. And the people that go there, most of the time, like you also want to be friends with. We've like met a lot of new friends there. And it's just
– it's a good vibe. I was
– the greatest. Also, they always have really good music playing.
Not always. Oh, yeah. Let's be honest.
It's sometimes cheesy, but.
Or like just too dark. Sometimes it's really dark.
Oh, see, it could like, never be too dark for me. I like it. I like when it gets moody like that. I know what you mean because you're like, your heart is like half Miley Cyrus, but like mine is not. And like, I'm really happy for it to be dark.
I think my heart is incredibly dark. And when it's too dark and then it's like reflecting.
That's why, right.
It's like, I don't need, if I wanted to do this, I could go home.
Yeah, mine is actually like, I want to indulge in darkness because I actually have like pink butterflies flying around inside.
But it's funny. I was introduced to this bar from a neighbor who I was like BFF with, and we are not friends anymore. And it's like such a funny like trajectory of like a full circle, like friends, not friends moment. Cause like this person will call her Mary. Like, she introed me to like a whole group of people who now like, I'm like, oh my God, I love you guys so much. But it's just so super interesting. Like the way that like we had this friendship breakup was such like a moral ethical dilemma. Like we got in this big fight because we were at a party together and it was at this guy's house. We both did not know him and we walked in and it was like crowded and he was like, come sit down. Like, we're playing Connect Four and I always play like with a bet. He's like a sailor or something, like goes on the ocean, like looks like Gaston, like very like.
I love the Gaston. You say that a lot and I love it.
Yeah.
I like that reference.
Thank you so much. So he has a butt plug next to this Connect Four game and he was like, here's the deal. If you, whoever loses either has to wear a butt plug the rest of the night or get three dots tattooed on them or four dots tattooed on them, like connect four dots. I've had people like do the dots, blah, 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 blah. And so
people do the dots. Ew.
Right. And so my friend is like, ah, I'm due for a new tattoo. I'll die. And I was, sir, are you okay? Because as a woman walking into your apartment, if you're telling me that you're going to brand my body with either a butt plug or a tattoo, like, I am not down with that. And Mary was like, I can't believe your horrible manners. I would never speak to someone like that in their home. And I was like, my body is my home. And so wherever I fucking go, whether it's someone else's mailing address or not, like my sovereignty is in my skin and my bones and my skeleton. And if you're putting a butt plug in front of me that's on the table that probably has been inside your butt, because like
where you're else very would comfortable it have gone? With it.
Like, I don't care whose house it is. Like, I'm gonna let you know that that's bizarre and like that man needs to like really consider his idea of socializing.
Correct.
And so she and I were like on really thin ice. And then like a few weeks later, we go to a concert and we decide to have a sober night. Mm-hmm. And halfway through the concert, she was like, I know. I don't need, I love water. I love water.
I love gin and tequila. Okay.
And so halfway through the sober night, she was like, wow, the shrooms are really hitting me right now.
Oh, I hate shrooms also. I'm sorry.
I was just so annoyed and it just changed the vibe. So like, on the walk home, we were walking past Juice Press and she was like, I love Juice Press. And I was like, it's not even a real thing. Like, there's so much sugar in there that like you can think you're cleansing and you'll shit your pants.
Wait, hold on. Also, for someone to just be like, I love Juice Press. Like,
we were walking past it, to be fair.
But also, like, don't – no, I know. But it's like walking past Madewell and being like, I love Madewell. Like, yes, it's like a place to get a good pair of jeans. What? Like, don't say that.
Make your own juice. It's if you're so really basic. Cleansing – well, I just went on this rant about sugars and how, like, you're not really cleansing if you're drinking juice because you're putting a ton of sugar in your body. So when you're done with the cleanse, you're just going to crash. And you're going to end up like more unhealthy than you were before.
True.
And so I was like on this rant and she was like not feeling it. And I was like, I'm sorry. I know I'm like being like a bit critical. And she was like, yeah, you're like really judgmental and arrogant. And I was like, oh, can you stop? Because I will cry all night if you keep like ripping me a new asshole. I'm very sensitive. And she just kept going and going. And I texted her the next day to like see if she maybe wanted to like be okay and like take any of it back and repair.
Apologize.
And I told her how much I like loved being friends with her and she just like didn't like doesn't like me enough to like take any of it back.
And who fucking cares?
Yeah. So I was like, you know what? I'm sad. Like you're a decent, cool person. But you introed me to all my friends, and maybe that was the whole point of this friendship.
Yeah.
And so now we have Dolly's, we have Dollhouse, and this is the neighborhood, my friends.
Welcome.
Welcome. Katie, I feel like you're like a bookworm. Will you please talk about what you've been reading?
Yes, I would love to.
Oh.
I've been reading this book called Vladimir by Julia Mae Jonas. And it's really fucking good. And it has a passage that really jumped out to me.
Wait, what is the book about?
It's about a woman who is in her 50s and she's a professor at some like liberal arts college in upstate New York, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's just an upstate, whatever. And she falls in love with another professor and his name is Vladimir and he's like 10 years younger than her.
Mm.
And she's in a marriage with a man. She's married to a man who has been quote unquote canceled and like me too'd by college that she still works at. They were both professors there. And I think he's like on probation or something because a bunch of students came forward and were like,
is this a true or not true story?
No, it's fiction.
Bless.
So there's a lot of like, it's just very of the zeitgeist.
Yeah, it really is.
And the writing is so fucking good and addictive.
Okay, cool. Okay, yeah. So what's this passage? Tell us the passage.
Okay, so the passage, I'm not even going to give context. I'm just going to read a little bit. When she noticed my half-eaten omelet, I admitted all the thoughts that I had heretofore, good use of heretofore, pushed away. I realized I was completely and utterly lovesick. It was love. I had restricted my caloric intake nearly all my life, eating half portions, carving little lines around globs to delineate what must be left behind, even throwing food into the trash. But there was only one other period in my life when I left food on my plate without even thinking about it, which was when I fell in love with David. That's her husband. There was a burning in my body, an extra level of excitement keeping part of me fed and running that required no sustenance. It was longing for the love of Vladimir Vladinsky, junior professor and experimental novelist. Longing was energizing my muscles and organs and brain. Longing was replacing my blood with fizzy, expansive liquid.
Mm.
I loved him. It's dope. And also just like, I am a Libra sun and moon and
you are
crushes really are lifeblood. And one time I saw a meme that was like, I don't date, I just fall in love. And I was like, I am seen.
I know, that is so you. Crushes, yeah. Literally like, I feel like
they destroy you.
Yeah. Like an Aquarius made up the term crush. Cause like it literally
makes
me have to put ice on my wrist and like, it's just too much. I can't even articulate how much I don't enjoy falling for someone. I love it in that, like, the way I love looking at bright flowers and smelling them and, like, knowing that, like, love exists is so nice. But, like, the actual, like, speaking to someone that I like, it makes my bones tremble. I can't handle it.
Yeah, and not to say it doesn't make my bones tremble, but it's just what I like the way that my bones are trembling. And also, when I go through periods, it's like the universe is trying to teach me a lesson to be like, you can't only live off of having a crush on someone, Katie. So like, I'm fine when I don't have a crush and I'm like taking care of myself and shit, but it's hard. It's like a harsh reality.
Yeah.
So like when I do have a crush on someone, it's just, yeah, like it is, it's the opposite of what this book, what this little passage is saying. Like it is my sustenance, I guess. I mean, I eat, you guys, but I'm really comfortable with it. And one day my friend Charlotte said to me, like, I guess I was tripping out a little bit about a crush that I had one summer, and she is also a Libra and just like my soul sister. And she was like, Katie, crushes are what we stay alive for. This is like the greatest thing on earth. Just sink into it and don't overthink it. And I had a crush on this boy who like drank black coffee with honey and smoked a Marlboro Light every morning. And I was like, I guess that's why I was kind of tripping out, because he was just so hot. But
I'm like good at the middle part of relationships where it's like, I respect and see you and like want you to have a great life and like I can.
That's so practical.
No.
Like that's so you trying to make it practical. Like I respect you. I see you. I want you to have a good life. it makes me twitch.
Yeah.
Like a machine.
When I text the person that I have a crush on and I'm waiting for that person to reply to me, I like want to chuck my phone against the hardest piece of concrete.
I know. It's such a fucking risk.
What is it like watching me do this? Are you like, you just want to like karate chop me?
No, not at all. I just want to be like, I just want to transfer some of the energy. Like, I think I like it because it also, like, I love the writing about it and stuff. It makes me feel creative and it makes me feel like in tune with my muse, and my muse is like a crush, any kind of a crush.
Where do you think this book is heading that you're reading? Like, what do you think's gonna happen?
I think she's gonna fuck Vlad and like fall madly in love with him, but there's also this subplot.
Like, is she gonna leave her husband for, what's the subplot?
Everyone's telling her to leave her husband. She should not be with her husband. He cheated on her with multiple young women.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't underage, but because it's in college.
But younger and hotter than her. And yes. That's what hurts.
Exactly. That's what hurts. And also she had her own extramarital affairs, but I don't think that they were happening before she knew he was.
Yeah.
So the subplot also going on though, and like the female on female dynamic of it all is her daughter has just moved back home.
And
her daughter is gay and, or she identifies as queer. And she is like asking her mom, are you going to leave dad? Like, why don't you leave dad? Like, it's not a good look for you to stay with dad. But then that's one of the subplots. And the other one that I find really interesting is Vlad is also married. And he's married to another professor and writer. They're all writer professors. And that woman is a very intriguing character. She's like had a suicide attempt and has a baby and like talks about her depression a lot and like
love a sad
is already like seeking
attention.
The narrator as a mentor, like she comes to the narrator as a mentor, so something's gonna go down between them. I'm really excited. I'm trying to read it really slow because I like it so much.
Okay, well I think this is like gonna be a great thing for you to like next week. You can tell us like what you read like in this next few days.
Great.
And thank you for always being a bookworm. It's so literary focused.
No worries, gal.
Mm-hmm. My thing, though, is not really reading books. My thing is reading the news. And I don't even know if reading the news is what I do. Like, I consume it. I snort it. I inject it into
you
my veins.
You snort it.
Yeah.
Intravenous
me. My thing right now is Hunter Biden, all the Bidens in general. Like, how the fuck did we get here? Mm-hmm. In hindsight, I just feel so duped by Joe Biden. And every time I get a phone call and like I watch the voicemail text of like my student loans, I'm just like, I'm not talking to you about this. Like, I was tricked. So Hunter Biden's laptop has come back around like to the forefront now that the media is like, oh, wow. Okay. Like, we should probably act like we are not impressed by Joe Biden because he's not impressing us because he's like pretty much halfway dead, is a puppet, cannot even like keep a sentence going in the right direction. And watching him socialize is like watching a blind, like it's like he's blind and just walks literally in a circle, like not even like a large circle. He just like, like just rotates every so often and like looks. It's bad. But like Hunter Biden, I think, is like of all of the first children that we've had that we can remember, like this is by far the most controversial mm-hmm. child. He is a literal crackhead. And although we are living in a time where sex work is positive and we can like make like some like open-minded decisions about this, like for Hunter Biden to be paying women for sex with money from his family and his family's money is from the government. Like that to me, it just so ick. Like it's not a good time to be taking government money and spending it on sex.
Politics are just so embarrassing now.
It's so embarrassing now. With the internet also, like, makes it possible for people to not just be, like, having conspiracy theories. Like, now we can, like, actually group together and be like, this is going on. So the timeline of the laptop is the following. Hunter drops off his computer at a repair shop in Delaware in 2019. Hunter does not return for over 90 days, which means the computer legally now belongs to the repair shop. So after browsing through the files, the guy at the repair shop, he's like super like, what the hell is on here? I'm going to call the FBI because I don't want like any blood on my hands. So a subpoena is issued in December 2019 by U.S. Attorney Leslie Wolf. And this computer guy is like fearing for his safety. So he gives a copy of Hunter Biden's laptop and the hard drive to Rudy Giuliani's attorney, Brian Costello, and also two of his friends. Just like, just in case someone murders me, I like disappear. Here's all the things. Rudy Giuliani's attorney, obviously thrilled to have it. In October 2020, the House Republicans send a letter to the FBI director requesting answers about the computer. And it becomes clear that the FBI is sitting on the computer and its contents. The same way that it is clear the FBI is sitting on information about Jeffrey Epstein's hard drives. So Rudy Giuliani begins providing regular updates of his findings on TV interviews and just in the media, talking about the authenticity of these emails and other disturbing details involving images and videos of child porn and sexual situations with minors. Because we all think, well, Hillary Clinton's emails were a big deal. Anthony Weiner's emails were a big deal. All the emails are now like a big deal. Why shouldn't we also be making a big deal out of Biden's emails?
Yeah.
The emails are not only incriminating towards Hunter, but also provides that Joe Biden lied about his knowledge of his son's involvement with the Ukrainian dealings, where Hunter provides access, promises access to his father as bargaining leverage. So the media covers this up. Also, shout out, House and Habit is where I get like my favorite, most concise updates about like the trueness of politics. Like, I will not listen to Fox News, ABC News, NBC News, even the New York Times now. Like, everyone has some skin in the game. And I like Substack so much right now because people who don't have skin in the game that are just like citizens who give a fuck about the future are really able to like go off however they want. And it's up to us as readers to take what we like,
true journalism.
Yeah, true journalism. Like what journalism?
Freedom of the press.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so the images on this hard drive are, there's tons of Hunter Biden smoking crack. There's also a ton of images with him and underage girls. There's also a ton of images with him and an underage girl that's in his family. Hunter Biden like really lacks a lot of moral compass. He married, or he did not marry. He had an affair with his dead brother's wife after he died. He just like isn't someone that you're like, no, he would never do that. He would never do anything wrong. Hunter Biden's like actually a disgusting human. There's one of the more disturbing parts of these texts is Hunter texting his cousin Caroline and asking for an escort. Caroline says to Hunter, do you want foreign or domestic?
Holy shit.
She says, I can't give you fucking Asian. I'm not doing it. And Hunter says, a domesticated foreigner is fine.
Oh my God.
And she says, no. She says, none of these women are foreign domesticated except for Deva. But Nicole and Deva, Ella and Lucy, we all know quality girls who are like I am. Distrusting and highly, highly wary of evil. I also have Denise, a German, 26. Hunter says, no to Lucy, I think. And he said, you have to make the pitch directly. And then she says, I can give you Isabella, but she has kids and an NBA ex-husband. Hunter replies and says, no yellow. The texts continue with using racial slurs, including the N-word, tossed between both of them. I just want to say that it is absolutely unacceptable for anyone to still be closed-minded when it comes to racism and gender, and especially if you're going to be so influential. I'm just gonna tie that up in a bow and say that I look forward to continuing to have conversations about our what I hope to be ever changing political atmosphere. Okay, but to end on a light note, maybe we can't. Maybe that's the whole point. Maybe we should all be freaking out. Not clear, but feels like a really strong first official Dollhouse episode. I hope that this was like all of the half Brie, half Katie that your soul needs. And mm-hmm. I cannot wait to continue feeding you through your AirPods or your car speaker, however you get your audio joy.
Sonic joy.
Sonic joy. Wow.
Also, I love Sonic. The drive-through, like a hot dog and a milkshake. Now, please.
Wow. We can go to Shake Shack if you want.
I would love that.
Okay.
So we're going to close out, hopefully the same way every time. I'm going to give you guys a mini heartbreak of the week. And Brie is going to give you it's like a text that Brie sends the greatest texts of all time.
Wow.
They're like tattooed inside of my brain.
Wow.
And so she will read you one of those because she's just a spiritual goddess, spirit guide, all of the things.
Wow.
Okay, so my mini heartbreak of the week is a big bummer. I have this crush that I've stored away in the back of my heart and soul for almost a year now. And I literally, you guys, met him once in May of last year. Don't even remember what his voice sounded like. I have just attached myself to the idea that maybe someday, some way, I will date and marry this man.
Who are you talking about, by the way?
He will remain unnamed.
I feel like I've never even heard of him.
I'll tell you about him later.
Which is the whole point of why you have a heartbreak every week. So I'm just like, who?
He has like Timothy Chalamet vibes. Like big hair and like all this stuff.
Okay.
So I found out that he has a girlfriend.
Oh,
so
sad. Doesn't really.
I'm not a homewrecker. So anyway, I want everyone to just mourn and weep with me.
Well,
that's my mini heartbreak of the week.
Okay. And I'm going to end on this text that I sent Katie. I literally just stopped walking to sit on a stoop in Texas, and I'm sorry to be corny, but there's not enough credit for supreme joy and letting yourself and your friends experience that for more than an hour or just a vacation or whatever people do to schedule happiness, but condense it so they don't feel like they are giving themselves more free time than they believe they deserve. But the last few months, you and I decided to create a bubble of supreme joy and giggling, and it was a medicine that everyone deserves, but they don't believe it. So thank you.